Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, the final Money in the Bank ladder match spot is confirmed, an incredible six-man tag match, and it's a dance party. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We march on to Money in the Bank with a Samoan submission machine. Clinch it in. And we're going to break it all down live for you on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. Like and subscribe and telling your friends and your foes about AfterBuzz TV as we break down this week's SmackDown Live. I am Christian Rosenberg. Gang is all here tonight. Over to my left, she is Miss Gabby Loren.
What up?
Can you feel the energy?
Oh my god, I feel like I'm Nikki Bella or something, or like in Brie mode when I do this. Just on the intro.
All right, and to equal that energy, Tom the Calm.
What's up?
Hey, there it is.
No, I need another one. What's up,
guys? I'm the one on fumes right now.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah. All right, SmackDown. We're just a couple weeks away. Money in the Bank is pretty much getting all pictured, all set, and it all laid out tonight. What did you think overall of the show?
I thought it was really good. I liked that we got to see Samoa Joe a lot tonight. He's getting a lot of usage now with WWE, and he's a major part of the storyline, so I'm liking where this is going. They did bring Big Cass back, so not sure how I feel about that. But I thought it was overall really good. There was some new elements part of the show tonight, and I enjoyed it. How about you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good wrestling in this show tonight, which I liked. There was a lot of good matches, a lot of surprising things that I didn't think were going to be good that ended up being entertaining.
I know what you're talking about. We're always on the same page telepathically. Did it have to do with dancing?
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, don't worry. Like I said in the intro, we're going to dance the night away.
As we get all night long?
All night long. But we
all
start out.
All night long. All night long. I'm like our Aiden English of the show. Right?
There it is.
It's been a while since I've done a few tunes here.
Did he inspire you?
You continue. Yes, yeah, inspired me with that.
So we had three songs today now.
There you go. Samoa Joe starts the show by just walking to the ring. Grab a ladder, grabs a ladder from under the ring, sets it up, just climbs it, grabs a briefcase. Oh, it's really that easy to win Money in the Bank. You just got to climb and he grabs it, it's done.
Well, I for sure thought he was going to say, well, looks like I'm now Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I got it. Going to cash in. The contract just happens to be inside it this whole time. Mm-hmm. Yep. No one's grabbed it.
Yeah, he just signs it and yeah, it's his. Yeah. Sorry, no pay-per-view.
Yeah, right, they canceled it as of today.
The ladder represents the connection of the earth to the heavens. Tonight, I will show Dan O'Brien there are things far worse than forced retirement. And I want Brie to tell your daughter that Daddy will be home for Money in the Bank, but Daddy won't be the same man. This naturally brings out Dan O'Brien. Says, you mention my wife or daughter once more, and I'll break your leg. Why don't we just fight right now? Joe moves the ladder. Dan O'Brien heads to the ring. We are ready to go. And then out comes Big Cass.
Yep.
He says that Joe and Dan O'Brien are being very juvenile, and then literally in the following sentence calls them a shrimp and a blimp.
That was a good one. Not.
I get it, because one of them's short and the other one's fatter. God, why? What happened to Cass?
Writing?
He used to be entertaining.
When?
There was a time. It was a short time. But there was a time.
When he had another short fellow with him? Is that one?
I don't know who you might be talking about.
It looks like there's more than one person who is money now besides Carmella.
Right. So we'll see, but Cass is mentioned about that he talked to Paige, wants to face Joe. And he got the okay once he is cleared. And then he's like, I've been cleared. And swings the crutch. Dan O'Brien ducks. He hits Joe with it. And then he eventually lays out both men with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Cass stands tall.
I'm very confused about this because I thought Big Cass was after Daniel Bryan the whole time. And now all of a sudden it flipped. Now he's after Samoa Joe only.
No, that's not true.
I mean, when he came out and he did his whole promo, it sounded like he really didn't care for Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's out, and now it's just me and Samoa.
Well, because that's what the match was advertised before he got hurt. It was supposed to be Cass and Joe, and then he's saying Daniel Bryan got in the way. It should be my spot against Joe for the Money in the Bank spot.
I guess I just didn't like then how the promo was cut, because I feel like he should have at least explained why he's now only after Samoa Joe instead of completely forgetting about his whole... you know, vendetta against Daniel Bryan and trying to beat him and defeat him.
Yeah, I don't think it was, I don't think that was his intention on it, but the fact that you got that message from it just shows what the problem was with this promo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because it's obvious, and as we saw towards the end of the show, he's certainly not done with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Certainly not. Mm.
Certainly not.
It was, I mean... I think Joe's promo was awesome. Daniel Bryan's was good. I love that he didn't have to come out the music, like, just being in the back, being like, well, no, I need to come confront you now because you're talking crap about, you know, my family. Right. And, I mean, out of all the people in Money in the Bank, I really want Joe to win because I feel like he can be that terror that he talks about of, like, I would just love a person that has Money in the Bank to just come out and, like, destroy the champion. But not cash in and just like look at them and hold the briefcase and go, I can do this to you anytime I want. Mm-hmm. Anytime I want.
Yep.
Well,
you know, like it would just be such a cool element of like you like really lurking around and not be like booked like how they have been booked of like losing matches and like not really in the forefront. Like, let's get them in the front of like, even if they're not cashing in, they still need to be out there like, you know, proving why they have the briefcase.
Here's the thing. I feel like Samoa Joe, it is very probable for a win at Money in the Bank to have that briefcase. WWE is really pushing him at this time. It is his time. He's also come back from an injury, and he consistently has delivered in the past. If you look at some of the pay-per-views that he was on, for example, Extreme Rules in 2017, Raw had a 15% viewership increase, and that was according to a Forbes.com article, and a 6% increase in viewership after his main event match against Brock Lesnar at the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. And then Raw also had its second best viewership of 2017 after Samoa main evented SummerSlam. So clearly Samoa is really helping out the Raw viewership when he was on Raw. So I don't see why with SmackDown and all these other pay-per-views coming up that they wouldn't have him main event or take away a Money in the Bank.
Oh, he's definitely one of their biggest draws. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, his match with Lesnar was the only reason anyone watched Great Balls of Fire.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think if you go back in time to when Samoa Joe first started with NXT and he got his merchandise, Triple H looked at him a little bit differently once his merchandise started selling with, like, I guess, exceeding numbers. He was doing one of the best, I guess, out of most wrestlers with the merchandise.
Because I think he came in not really being like, you're staying here. Like, I think it was like,
it was an unknown. Yeah, whether or not it was like long term.
Yeah, it was like, you're gonna try this. We're gonna try this out with you, and then he became NXT champion for a long time.
And I think they reevaluated like what his worth was at WWE. So, with that being said, he does do really well, and the viewership loves him. The audience loves him. Yep. So why not give him the chance at Money in the Bank?
Yeah,
why because not? he is like that pure kind of like heel. Like, he doesn't want to get cheered,
right?
So it's like he's just you know, him and the Miz are on that kind of level of like just wanting to get booed. Like, that's what they're here
for. But for completely different ways. Like, the Miz for being super cocky, Joe just being violent, and that's great, and that makes a good dynamic, and that makes two people that you want to watch to see, can people shut the Miz up? Can anybody stop Joe? So I'm a big fan of both of them. You know what else I'm a big fan of?
What?
I'm a big fan of Conversation with Maria Menounos. It's the podcast that drops every Friday on iTunes from our AfterBuzz TV founder. Conversation with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips to be better in all aspects of life. You talk your health, you talk your finance, you talk your relationships, so much more. So you can go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversation with Maria Menounos. You like it, you subscribe, you give the 5 stars. It's absolutely free. New episodes drop every Friday. She's had WWE superstars on in the past. You could always check those past ones out as well. But when you go there and subscribe, make sure in the comments you tell her that SmackDown After Buzz sent you out there. So make sure, again, conversation with Maria Menounos. Check it out Fridays on iTunes. Paige is backstage. She runs into Mandy and Sonya. Paige is a little busy during this show. Mm-hmm. We had a lot more Paige than normal.
Oh, a lot. Yeah. It is great. I love
it. Yeah, no, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was different. So Mandy and Sonya are just like, Paige, you're making a lot of mistakes. I don't know if you know this. You're kind of screwing things up around here. I mean, why does Asuka get a title shot? She lost to Charlotte at WrestleMania, and she lost her one SmackDown match pretty much that she's had.
That was a tag match.
That was a tag match where she was not pinned. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she doesn't deserve a match. Oh, what about the 2.5 years she was undefeated? Well, that was in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Mandy, you're going to take on Asuka tonight then. And then she walks away from them. Renee Young runs up, wanting to get the scoop about what transpired in the opening segment. And Paige lets us know that tonight, the final Money in the Bank qualifying spot will be a triple threat match.
I love how Sonya and Mandy are getting so much match time right now. They seem to be on every week. And it's nice, even if they're not being considered like top performers at this time where they're, you know, getting into Money in the Bank or, you know, they're winning championships, they are still playing against top performers. So I think with that being said, they're grooming them to become the next big thing. And mm-hmm. I love Mandy and Sonya. I think they're great wrestlers.
They're both improving week by mm-hmm. week mm-hmm. by week. And yeah, still teasing the whole little story that they have with Paige, having them involved. Even if not necessarily both of them wrestle each week, they're still on the show each
right.
week. Yeah. And that is good. And it's building their characters. It's building the fan base, whether you're cheering or booing them, where most, mm-hmm. in this case, they're booing them. Mm-hmm. So it's doing all the right things to try to build them up. What it's going to lead to, we don't know yet. And that's a cool mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
That we
and
can't pinpoint what it's leading to.
Exactly. It's true.
And having them on the show each week is good just because, you know, I forgot what I was going to say.
Did you get lost in Mandy Rose? Like
I did.
Corey Graves?
I did. Yes. Yeah. Corey,
he was
yeah,
thinking
was
about like, her entrance.
Yes, I was.
With
yes.
that slow.
I couldn't see, so
music.
My you know my vision got all blurry, and then it was clear, then it was blurry.
Check your glasses.
Yes. I'll come back. I can't remember. I really had something good to say. And I was like, ah.
You know, speaking of that segment, I think Paige, as a GM of SmackDown, does a phenomenal job, and I love how her stance on things is just so strong. She's mm-hmm. such a strong woman, and she makes like hard decisions, and she's more of a stronger character as a GM than I thought Daniel Bryan was as a GM, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, no, and I agree with you for the main reason, because Daniel Bryan was still involved in the storylines.
Yeah.
Paige, yeah, she has this little thing with Mandy and Sonya, mm-hmm. but nothing's really developed outside of her making a in matches. So as long as they keep Paige just there mm-hmm.
to be the boss.
Be the boss, yeah. Make the matches. Like I have Regal do in NXT.
Yeah.
He's not involved in storylines, mm-hmm. but he's there. He makes the matches, makes the decisions, makes the announcements. And I love Regal on NXT so much because he's just, all right, I'm the authority figure, doing this, done. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what Paige is right now. Mm-hmm. And as long as they keep her like that, be the confident woman, be strong, be authoritative, but not be
the authority.
That's actually a great point. Be authoritative, but not the authority. That's actually a great way to put it.
I remember what I was going to say.
I
feel like those two have made more of an impact than the Riot Squad did the whole time the Riot Squad was on.
Yes.
100%.
SmackDown. Like, they have at least some kind of a purpose.
They have personalities.
Yes. Well, that too, yes. But it's like they at least have a purpose of like, okay, we're trying to get, you know, title shots and stuff. Like, the Riot Squad did not riot, and, you know, they didn't really push for anything.
They lacked the rioting.
Yes.
Yeah. They lacked the proper storyline for their characters to mm-hmm. define their characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. First match of the night is Nakamura versus Ty Dillinger. This was pretty much Nakamura, like, an extended squash match. Nakamura just toyed with Dillinger for 98% of this match. Towards the end, Dillinger was finally almost kind of like hulking up, scared up. Got a little comeback
in.
He was 10 and up. But then eventually Nakamura just took care of him. Kinshasa for the win. And then after the match, hit a Kinshasa on the back of Dillinger's head, and he proceeded to count to 10 to signify what he plans on doing to AJ Styles at Money in the Bank. And then AJ's backstage. So while Nakamura is attacking Dillinger after the bell, AJ's just waiting for his interview with Dasha.
He's busy.
I thought this was great that they brought Ty Dillinger in to go against Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, we haven't seen too much of Ty on SmackDown Live, or if any. But now he's just coming back and he gets this match, so good on him. And ironically, I don't know if you guys heard, but he was also recently competing in an NXT Live taping.
Yes.
Against Marcel Barthel. So it's been 12 years since he was signed to WWE.
It's been a long run
and
for Ty.
I almost feel like kind of sorry for him because guys like Cesaro are upset that they haven't gotten a championship title yet for like the WWE champion and kind of have this love-hate relationship with their job. But then you look at someone like Ty Dillinger who's been around for the 12 years and he's barely getting airtime on SmackDown Live, so or story.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you bring up Cesaro, he's been a guy like he's been wrestling longer than 12 years, and he came and went out of WWE like Ty Dillinger, and eventually came back and started really doing nothing for a while, and eventually they started giving him an opportunity, saw how good of a wrestler he is. But yeah, like that Marcel guy in NXT. He's been doing a thing at house shows lately where he's been calling out people. So like a week ago, Tyler Breeze came back down, faced him, Ty Dillinger. Maybe next weekend, another NXT alum will come down and face him. So it's a little thing that Marcel, I don't know much about him yet.
But right. It's his character.
That's his character. Something he's doing down at the live events, which clearly is working because we're talking about it here on SmackDown.
Well, and I was—I
don't even know
who
that guy is.
We're gonna look him up.
Yeah, I mean, I encourage that as well for anybody at home watching or listening.
I think he's a German guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: like, do you think WWE, you know, did this and brought Ty and these other guys on to go against Marcel to give the fans a special experience, or just to help his character on NXT?
Oh, I think it's a one-off for the NXT fans. Mm-hmm. They're big Ty Dillinger fans. They're big Tyler Breeze fans. The Revival went down there a couple weeks ago as well.
It's just very exciting for them because it's a house show.
It's a live event, a surprise. Oh my God, these guys are actually here hanging out. That's cool.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's any type of punishment by any means.
Yeah, I mean,
well, definitely not a punishment.
Now, if Ty starts showing up just on NXT TV, that's a different story.
That's different for sure.
But I think it's a good, it's a good way. It's a fun surprise for the fans. And I mean, I think Dillinger, I feel like his character does need to change. I feel like if they're going to do anything with him, I think if they did end up turning him bad, because I think, I don't really know where else you go with the 10 gimmick of, you know, because he doesn't really do that much anymore. You know what I mean? Like when he comes to the ring and the fans aren't really doing as much either. I mean, I think him paired up with Peyton and Billy would be a really good like combo team.
Great idea.
Of like, you know, just, you know.
And you continue to keep the couples together and have him hang out with Peyton.
Because, he is dating,
Peyton, but right, so. Peyton and Billy are also huge heels.
Well, that's what I mean. I think
turn Ty heel.
Yeah.
It would have to be a really big turn.
They could do it.
Yeah.
If he just keeps calling himself Perfect 10, saying like, you know, like looking at himself in a mirror, saying I'm a perfect, you know.
It's
like
just a complete opposite from his character at this point. So it's hard to see it that.
Well, it's interesting
happen.
Because that's how it started.
Right.
When him being very heelish. But the crowd was just so into the 10 chant that they eventually had no choice but to turn him face. Now that those chants have kind of faded, you have the chance to go back if you choose to.
But I think you could turn him and just be like, no, you can't chant 10. Like, you're not, I'm a 10.
You're not the 10, I'm the 10.
I like that. Kind of like how Miz is with his
My hand goes up, your mouth goes shut.
Yeah, it's that same idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
AJ, brief promo, saying somewhere down the line, something inside Nakamura snapped, and now he's more dangerous than ever. But I fight smarter and harder than anyone that's bigger and stronger than me. And I'm going to win at Money in the Bank. And that was that.
Wouldn't it be cool if they could uncover something odd about Shinsuke's background as his character? Because AJ's saying backstage, you know, I think he snapped. Something's off with him. Wouldn't it be very interesting to see in a storyline that we find out more about Shinsuke's background or his life in the story?
I say yes, but also I say no because they always find the weirdest stuff and
like
stuff that makes
mystery.
No sense.
I like the odd stuff with no explanation in this situation because Nakamura is just so weird. but in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, just the way he walked down the ramp tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so... he was convulsing while walking down the ramp. It was so weird. But I'm so captivated by it. Speaking of captivating, Dance Off.
Whoa.
Well then, we went back to 2003. We have Lana versus Naomi in a Dance Off. Lana has Rusev and Aiden English with her. Naomi brings the Usos down with her. A lot of twerking.
Mm-hmm.
Lana busting out a Lana Rooney.
Yep.
Some breakdancing.
Do you know Booker T learned that from Lana?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, where else
would
he
learn? I found that out tonight. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Granted, he started it before Lana was born.
I don't think that, but...
Yeah. But he clearly learned it from her. And... So they both do fine. They both do well. The crowd enjoyed both acts. They said they each got 60 seconds. They were not going for 60 seconds. They cut it short.
Do you think this was choreographed or, you know, improv?
I don't know. I think it was some kind of routine that they both have already done before. Like separate, you know what I mean? Like that they knew and they're like, all right, I'll do this. I don't know. I would say...
I think they said like end with this.
But yeah.
A little filler here.
But yeah, do your own thing.
Right.
But I do feel that, Naomi's was... It was almost like they didn't know what the music was going to be. Like, right. Naomi was, like, started dancing and was like, okay, this is the music
you picked for me?
All right, okay. Like, she didn't know. Like,
yeah,
so,
like, and maybe, she had to kind of get into
maybe
it.
Maybe they mixed it up. Maybe, like, Lana did Naomi's and no, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, no, we hit the wrong button, but we can't turn it off now.
Yeah, like, oh, well. Actually, this was... pretty awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked how they paired the couples up together with their significant others, rooting them on and stuff, cheering them on. You know, Naomi, she was a dancer, so was Lana, but Naomi was on a dance team for the NBA.
And Orlando Magic!
Yeah.
My Magic! That's the one good thing that's come out of the Magic in the last 10 years.
That's funny. Go team, go. One of the dance moves she did tonight, I used to do all the time on my dance team in high school. So it brought back nostalgia for me.
You realize what we're about to ask you now.
Which one it was, or just to see it. I can't do it in here because it's like you need a lot of space, and I'm kind of scared because it's been a lot of years.
We'll film it later.
But I could show you tapes from back then. But it was really cool. It was the one where she did like the split in the air, and then she came down into a split on the floor.
Yes.
That's what I used to do on my dance team. Literally.
Wow.
Jeez.
The same
How'd
move.
That not hurt?
It didn't hurt. And I remember when I was on Dancing, I was very scared to do that move. It was very nerve-wracking because you're like upside down, you know? It's almost like a handstand.
And it doesn't hurt your legs and your legs just like hit the floor?
No, like, it doesn't hurt. It's just, unless you're not flexible. Mm. Like, you have to be flexible to
like
do
me.
It. But it was just scary. But once you get the hang of it, it was fine. So it was cool to see that. And I was like, oh, I can identify with her, you know? But it reminded me of, like, what's that dance movie? Like, Save the Last Dance and then...
the Channing Tatum.
What's the one where they compete against each other? Yeah.
Bring It On.
No,
that's Cheerleaders.
Yeah, not
Stomp
that
the Yard.
One. The one with Channing Tatum and Jenna DeWolf.
Step Up.
Oh,
Step
Up. That one.
They're all the same.
Well, I mean, not really. I don't know. I loved it. I think they should do more dance-offs.
Well, they need to do more dance-offs with people that can actually dance. Like,
yes.
When's I think this may be the first time.
Where like, both of them like, oh, okay, you can go either way with this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, Lana's like, a ballet dancer, so it's hard for her to like...
But she's like a hip-hop kind of dancer.
She did some breakdancing in there.
Some, yeah. But you could tell that wasn't like her main training. Her main training is classical ballet.
But hey, she did do a nice neck breaker on Naomi, too, in there, though.
Yeah.
That was great.
Which I just thought it was like...
But it was random too.
Yes,
it was, like,
it
kind
was
of
so random.
Getting
like,
into it.
Well, then, I kind of wish the Usos and Rusev and Aiden were outside of the ring, because when she actually attacked her and then it broke down, like they just kind of stood there. It was like, what's your girl doing to my girl? Like, but not stopping and like pulling them off.
Yeah.
Where like you think they would right away. Like,
well,
I get,
Rusev was busy filming it on live Instagram.
I gotta see that. I gotta go back and see.
Yeah,
that.
I gotta watch Rusev's IG now.
But I thought that it made it more dynamic that the guys got involved after and they were going at it and the girls were going at it in the ring at the same time. So
I wish they would have got like been out of the ring, got in the ring, and then started like fighting each other.
Kind of gave them that few extra seconds.
Yes, yeah. It was just it was a weird, awkward transition from like, oh, we're dancing. Oh, now she hit a neck breaker and she's beating her up, but no one's stopping her.
There's still no referee.
Yeah. They were in shock.
Who won then? Who won?
They never announced a winner.
But who no, did they we did. Think won? They said Naomi did.
Oh, I disagree. I honestly thought Lana won.
Yeah, I thought Lana won too.
Are you guys nuts? First of all, I'm the dancer in this room with a dance degree, and I'm voting Naomi 100%. And they did say on commentary that Naomi won.
Was that Byron saying Naomi won?
I think they said that the crowd went with Naomi because she got the most cheers. But
I didn't see an applause meter.
Also, at the end, listen, I'm not saying everything in WWE is fair.
I'm kidding. Okay.
But
what?
At the very end, they walked back on the runway together. It was the Usos and Naomi still standing. So that usually determines, like, you're the one, like, that won. Mm. You're the winner.
Till next week. Till next week.
Till next week.
Can we have a best of seven dance off?
I want to see Aiden dance against one of the Usos.
My right? money's on the Usos.
Or
Usos
dance
one.
Against one of the
my
Usos.
My money's on the Usos in that one.
Yeah, I think so too. But I still think it'd be really entertaining.
Well, you know what I was entertained on? On the fact that Mr. Bootyworth made a return this week.
Yes.
It just shows, what can we do to make me Mr. Bootyworth?
But
one
it was the
night?
Same guy, though.
Was it the same guy?
I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it was the same guy.
Then I know who I have to take out. Because that role was meant for me. I should be Mr. Bootyworth. That's what I was put on this planet for. And then Miz was doing like a Karate Kid thing, where like being blindfolded with his headband, trying to thwart off.
He was doing
the
a
pancakes.
Good job.
He actually,
if you really watch it, he was hitting a lot of them away.
Yeah. He did most of it. And then that led to the 6-man tag of New Day versus The Miz, Cesaro, and Sheamus. Whew, this was a fun 6-man.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Everyone had great moments in this match.
Right.
Xavier went nuts. Miz had a lot of great moments. Kofi climbed up the ropes and then onto the ring post to take out Sheamus and Cesaro. Towards the end, Big E made a counter on Miz, hit the big ending, got revenge from last week when Miz cheated to beat him. Big E pins the Miz. Momentum for the New Day, perhaps momentum for Big E, question mark?
I was just going to say that.
But they gave this like the perfect amount of time. Everyone got their time to shine. Crowd loved it. I loved it. Lots of fun in this match.
It was great. I actually thought it was extremely impressive to see Big E throw Miz right over his shoulder the way he did. I mean, Miz is 6'1", and I remember coming back from WrestleMania. I was in the same airport, on the same flight as The Miz, and I was standing right next to him ready to board the plane.
He's a lot bigger in person.
So tall. Yeah. I was looking up at him, and I'm 5'2". This guy is 6'1". He's huge.
Hey, I'm 6'1".
You are 6'1"?
Yeah, I'm not. Maybe as muscular.
No,
as
then Miz, he's but. Not your height because I swear.
No, I think
that there's no.
No,
either he's not your height or you're not his height.
No, he's, no, because I've met him a number of times. We're pretty. I want to say he might be slightly tall, like 6'2" or so.
Maybe it was.
But obviously he's a lot more jacked than I am.
I just remember looking up at him and thinking, "Oh my God, you're so big," and he smiled. He looked down at me, but I just felt like a child. Like I felt like a 10-year-old next to him. But to see Big E have that much strength, and of course that's what he's known for, but to do that in the ring, it's just so impressive, and I really liked it.
Yeah, it was a great. Good match.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and I mean, I think Big E's got to be the pick, right?
I think he will be, but I don't.
I don't know. And they're keeping us on our toes. Mm-hmm. And I love that. We won't know until that match starts who the New Day member is.
Give someone else a chance, you guys.
Renee is backstage with Anderson and Gallows. They talk about how we're in the best shape of our careers because we got Carl Abs Anderson now. They're hungry. The Bludgeons are beastly, but we're going to beat them like they're a couple of... And before Gallows can say it, they apparently, the Bludgeon Brothers interrupt one monitor that we have to turn to. And we have, the depraved will infect the decent, minds obliterated, souls corrupted, bodies liquefied. Prepare yourselves for the Bludgeon Brothers. So another week without the tag team champions and in the physical ring.
Well,
either one of them has like a minor injury that they've been holding off. Or something's up. Why have they not been in front of the crowd?
It's a
great
weird.
Question.
Yeah, it's really weird of like, not just like they were just out there for weeks beating the crap out of people.
Destroying
like,
everyone.
Yeah. Like, I just don't get why they haven't been destroying local guys each week. Just to show, like, 2 minutes and they destroy people and, like, yeah. You know?
Here's the thing. They have too many superstars on the roster. That they don't too. Have enough time for everybody. Same thing's going on with Andrade Cien Almas. Every time we see him, he has a quick match with a jobber or he's just doing a promo. Literally, tonight he showed up for one promo. So, I don't know. I just think that there's
a bunch of other guys showed up just for catering.
But I hope that, you know, with that whole deal with Fox and everything, that they don't change. I mean, they're slated to do a 2-hour show, but they have so many superstars. They could do a 3-hour show.
I don't want it.
I don't agree with it. But I'm just saying, like, they may look at their roster and be like, well, either we need to cut people or create a new show or make it 3 hours.
But this is a thing that they've had for God knows how long, because there's a ton of people on Raw with a 3-hour show that they still don't use every week. Mm. There's a ton of people on NXT that you don't see every week. There's a ton of people on 205 Live you don't see every week. They one day will have a UK show where they won't have all those guys every week. So it's a good problem to have. Maybe not for those physical superstars.
Nope.
But I feel like it hurts the product in the end of like us not having
consistency.
Yeah, yeah, and just like, oh well, you know, we haven't seen the Bludgeon Brothers for since WrestleMania.
And if you're a champion, you should be on TV.
Yes,
because everyone's vying for your title.
Right.
Yeah,
you should be showing why you're the champion.
Yeah, like next week we should definitely have them beating the crap out of Gallows and Anderson.
Like, have they had a match since the Greatest Royal Rumble?
No. They have they just got on TV in a promo like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah. That one with like the little toys. So
well, that must be very frustrating for them to like have this contract with WWE and you're not allowed to go anywhere else. So if you're not being used, what else do you do? It's terrible because it's like their passion.
When you're a champion, like they finally won the belts and then you're not even on TV. You're like, why do I even have like kind of like why do we even have two tag team champions then? Like, if we're going to do this, then, you know, make it just one champion that flip-flops between shows, then have, you know, two different champions. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and this is the negative sides of a brand split that we're experiencing right now.
But how were we not experiencing this before? SmackDown didn't change from being, you know, 3 hours to two. The roster didn't get that much bigger.
Well, what they did was they didn't let go of as many people. I feel like they didn't let go. We haven't had our
spring cleaning yet.
But no, yeah. But also, like when the Usos were champions, they were still on the show.
Usos were on every week.
So it's like, why even give them the belts if you're not gonna, you know, show them on TV? It's a weird dilemma.
Yeah, they want all the champions to be like Brock Lesnar, but they're not. They just pick and choose which ones are like Brock because Seth Rollins is on every week.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles is on every week.
Like Jeff Hardy, he's been on the last several weeks,
so he's off 1 week. That's
but still,
not the end of the world.
He doesn't have a feud.
But yeah, we have a pay per view in 2 weeks, and he doesn't have a number one contender.
Mm.
So that's
and then they're gonna figure one out like last week, now last minute, which I think is annoying. Like I'd rather just be like, don't even put that on there.
Yep.
Like I don't even need him on the pay per view if you're gonna do that, just to have him get an easy win.
Yep. Mandy Rose versus Asuka. Carmella is on commentary. All right. It's a quick one this week. But hit Christian's Closet's music, please. Carmella makes the cut this week, ladies and gentlemen. Her outfit while guest commentating. She was wearing black overalls. One strap missing. Being very Andre the Giant-esque. And then had a very, very skinny tube top on. Didn't cover a whole lot.
But it still made your Christian's Closet.
Well, because this was the only unique outfit of the whole night, because no one else
there's
was wearing
another
anything
one that
new.
There's another one that comes up.
I think really? Me and Tom might be taking over Christian's Closet, because we actually put that in your closet today, too.
Because I didn't think there was too much to go over this week on Christian's Closet. I was ready to give Christian's Closet a week, give it a Jeff Hardy, and give it a week off. But Tom and Gabby, well, no, it's the workhorse of the show.
Yeah, we're not giving it's
gotta
the Bludger,
be on every
Bludger
week.
Brother treatment.
So I'm like, all right, we'll find a spot. And here it was, and you're still not satisfied.
No, there's another one.
Cut the music.
Wait, no. What's the other one
we'll
we wanted
see.
To put in there?
No, I'll get to it. We'll
I honestly don't even know what they're talking about.
You might as well do it. It's in the closet.
No, we'll wait and see when we get to this. We'll go in order.
But and in a side note, Mandy Rose, no odd walk. She walked normal to the ring tonight.
Good, Mandy.
Someone told her.
Hey, you told her. Just walk.
You told her, Tom.
Yeah. I swear they're probably listening to our after show because there's
do every
so
week.
Many things
yeah.
that like
they
change
long
after we say them.
They're big fans. They're big fans.
Okay,
they love
the writers, right?
They love Christian's Closet.
No, we're talking about Mandy. I talk about Mandy and Sonya listen to this every week.
Sonya tunes in. What's up, Sonya? Shout out to Sonya. I know. She's told me. I feel important now. And speaking of Sonya, she clocks Asuka as she heads to the ring, laying her out as Sonya then walks back up the ramp, trying to give Mandy Rose a little advantage. And we're trying to focus on the match, but the whole time Carmella is arguing with Corey Graves because Corey has pretty much forgotten about Carmella and he's busy staring
Corey,
at Mandy
come on.
Rose. I love how Corey Graves, who is easily the best commentator WWE has today, and forgets all of his skills whatsoever whenever Mandy Rose is out there.
Oh, my goodness.
It's fantastic. It is his kryptonite.
Because
it is the greatest.
Because it's like the JR, but not JR, like the King
with every diva.
But yeah, but he's also, I think Corey Graves is a lot more, you know, funny about it. Like, King was more like, you know, more, I think, perverted about it. You know what I mean? Like, if you go back and listen to all that stuff from before.
Yeah.
Like, Corey's just more like playing it up and being fun about it, you know?
Yeah. This was a really fun match. I thought Mandy did great in this match with Asuka. Again, we were talking a little earlier how they've been getting better week after week. And she really held her own with Asuka. It was far more competitive than I think a lot of people were anticipating. Asuka does get the win with the Asuka lock. After the match, Carmella hops in the ring, just lifts the title up, stares at her, and then moonwalks on out to help build up a little bit for their title match. There hasn't been a ton of build up for that match yet. Because, I mean, when you're mainly focusing on the Women's Money in the Bank match, obviously there's been a lot of talk with Raw, with Rousey and Nia. That match has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit. And it should fix that.
I mean, how do you fix that, though?
You make them do something together.
Yeah. No, I know. Exactly. I mean, I feel like...
How about a classic pick your poison? We haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah. Or I think it just needs to be more of a Carmella showing dominance over Asuka. Like, trying to get, like, getting one up on her. So it gives people that doubt of, like, Carmella, you know, could win this match.
We'll probably have that. Most likely, based on this, next week, we'll probably have Asuka and Sonya. And then there'll be some interaction with Carmella after that match.
Yeah.
I mean, like based on how this match started.
I was thinking some kind of tag match like they normally do, but I don't know who would be, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, Asuka really doesn't have friends. Like,
that's not true.
And Charlotte's wrestling next week, so it can't
Charlotte
be Charlotte.
Becky wrestling next week. Yeah, because we get that. They're watching backstage, and they're both talking about how I need to win Money in the Bank. I'm going to win. And Paige comes by and be like, hey, PCB reunion. Remember when we were the submission sorority? She didn't say that.
They could always put Naomi with an Asuka.
You could.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really have beef.
But they've already advertised next week. They've advertised Jimmy and Naomi versus Lana and Aiden.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
I don't understand
that. You know, I will applaud them, though? Like, which they have been doing consistently of hyping up matches the week before for both shows.
Yes.
Like, there's, like, four matches for Raw now. It's, like, for next week and, like, at least three,
we,
I think.
We know a couple for next week for SmackDown.
For SmackDown.
Yep.
But why are they not putting Rusev with Lana? Why is it
He's got to do the Instagram.
Seed planting.
Mm. Well, probably. But then also I wonder if that plays into, like, the real backstage drama. Maybe, like, they can't actually work together.
No.
You never know.
No, they did the Mixed Match Challenge together.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, we do.
We know
everything. Look at John
everything.
And Nikki.
I mean, you don't even believe that behind the scenes.
I don't believe that at all.
Nope. But
tune in to Total Divas to find out.
No, Total kidding. Bellas.
No, well, Total Divas is Lana and
Lana Rusev. And Rusev. They're a strong couple. You could just tell.
Well, yeah, look how strong Rusev is.
They're
so strong. I mean, Rusev Machka.
They got a good bond.
They love Machka. Machka, yeah. Machka love. Machka love. What are we talking about? Almost backstage. Sin Cara comes by.
Yeah, there you go. Hit the music.
Oh, this is for Christmas Cara?
Yeah.
Sin Cara?
When have we seen him? I don't know. I just thought it was...
But it's not a new outfit.
No, but it was, you know...
The fashion is the fact that Sin Cara is there.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Because he had that, like, three-week run where he, like, could have been U.S. champion with Baron Corbin and then disappeared again.
Yeah.
And I love, he comes up to Almas, who's been on the main roster for 3 weeks or so now. Mm. And he's like, hey, it's so good to see you. Where have you been the last 3 weeks, Sin Cara? He's been backstage. Why are you just seeing him now?
Because the cameras just caught it now.
Well, okay, Sin Cara was wearing his usual gear. I don't know what you want me to say with the Christian's Closet right now.
Didn't like the white and the blue? It looked fine.
He wears it all the time. There was nothing new about it. Cut the music. Shame on you forcing a Christian's Closet. Then it's not nearly as good. It's oversaturated. You're making Christian's Closet Roman Reigns. Don't do it. Don't turn Christian's Closet into Roman Reigns.
That's overstepping.
Yeah. We're not at that level yet.
But Zelina comes in. She's like, what are you doing? And so goes, oh, Andrade and I go way back. And Zelina's like, no, you don't know this man. And she just yells at Sin Cara, and he's wondering what's going on. And Almas, we find out, says in Spanish, never...
Can I translate?
Oh, please.
And I did this on my own, because I know a little Spanish. Okay. This is the last time you ever touch me. And I think he said it, el último vez vuelves a tocar.
For all our Spanish listeners, grade that.
I think that's what it was.
Well, we'll see. But for all our listeners also, besides grading that, we want all our listeners to make sure that you go to iTunes.
And grade us.
That's right. And grade us. Don't necessarily grade her Spanish, but just grade us. Grade our show. Make sure you give that 5 stars. You subscribe. And like we said, you keep telling your friends, both on YouTube and iTunes, because we need to hear what you like, what you want us to improve on. We will make this show as good as we can for you, but we need to know... What makes it tick for you? What do you like? What don't you like? Do you want Christian's Closet segments in every segment? Do you never want me to talk about it again? I'm going to talk about it. But we want to know what
segment.
You think. Every segment.
What kind of show
Christian's
is this?
Christian's Closet. We need a Christian's Closet After Buzz.
I was going to say, that's a different show.
Yeah.
But please make sure you subscribe. Give that 5 stars. Tell your friends on iTunes. And then we get to the main event. Big Cass versus Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. By the way, chat roll saying you did great.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Spanish.
The support tonight. We're
talking about that Spanish
yeah.
love. Yeah.
The Spanish. Thanks.
Yes.
The rest of the show.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, actually?
I'm saying that you did that great. But then there was this part about Tom. They were saying,
El último vez no hablas a mí.
Something to me.
Don't speak to me. I said the last time, don't speak to me.
Oh.
This would be hard to do a show with you if I can't even speak to you. Well, triple threat match. Great triple threat, honestly. And I know we've been knocking Big Cass, but I thought he held his own in this match.
Yeah, he did. He did.
I thought he hung with him. And this just shows how great Dan O'Brien is. So he went for his flip early on in the match on the turnbuckle and slipped, which he pretty much never does. But still found a way, while slipping, to maneuver himself to bounce off Joe's shoulder to still flip over to complete his move.
Crazy.
Who can think that quickly other than Daniel Bryan?
Mm.
It's amazing what this guy does.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was gone so long and never missed a step.
Yeah. He doesn't even look tired.
No! The guy will not stop.
Mm.
This match went on nearly a half hour with a triple threat. Heading to the finish of the match, Bryan hits the running knee on Big Cass, goes for the pin, but then as he goes down for it, Joe grabs him in the Coquina clutch, locks him in while Big Cass is out. And again, the seed planting. Daniel Bryan does not tap out, but he is unable to continue. Ref calls for it. Joe now can say he's put Dan O'Brien to sleep. Joe is in Money in the Bank. Get ready for the Joe-Dan O'Brien feud, because we didn't get the one-on-one match tonight, because after the match, we have Big Cass give another boot to Dan O'Brien. So we'll have one more match with them at Money in the Bank.
Hopefully one more.
But then, this should then start leading to a Samoa Joe-Dan O'Brien feud, and I'm going to be biting my nails with excitement.
Yeah. Because even if Joe wins Money in the Bank, he could still...
Regardless whether he wins or loses, they can still do this feud.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a fun... I mean, that knee at the end was awesome.
Yeah, Cass did a great job with that.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that looked awesome. And I, you know, I love the kind of sneaky win by Joe of just coming in and just choking him out and, you know, being like, nope, I'm taking what I want. It's mine.
Yeah. I really liked how... it was Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan teaming up together at first.
Yes.
Because it's like, you know, you don't want to be the person that people don't want to help. And Cass has such a appeal that nobody likes him, so no one's going to ever help him. And in this match, in a triple threat, it's not going to ever work to his advantage. So it was nice to see that play out. And then obviously we see the rest of the match go down and... I'm happy Samoa Joe won, so it's going to be exciting to see him in Money in the Bank.
We have eight very different superstars in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Wait, who's in it?
So, let's see if I can name them all. So, we got Joe. Yeah. As far as SmackDown, we have Joe, we have Rusev, we have one of the members of New Day, and then we have, who is our fourth on SmackDown?
I don't know now.
Hold on, let me go over to Raw while I'm thinking of, we have Braun. Mm-hmm. We have Finn Balor.
Yep.
We have Bobby Roode. I'm forgetting the fourth on both shows.
Oh, the Miz?
Miz. How did I forget Miz? And then who's the fourth on Raw? Braun, Finn, Roode.
Kevin Owens.
And Owens. Gabby should have yelled at me for forgetting that.
I wanted to see if you were smart enough to get it right.
Just barely. But so many dynamics, and it could go so many different ways. I'm so looking forward to this one. And pretty much all of them, I mean, Owens has been a Universal Champion, but it's been a long time. Balor was champ for a day. And none of the others, I don't think, have been champion.
Miz.
Oh, Miz. But it's been like 10 years, almost 10 years since Miz was champion. So it's great because it's not like, oh, this guy could win it again or anything like that.
Yeah, it's
so,
all fresh kind of fresh people
yes,
in there.
Yes.
There's not anybody that I'm like, I mean, I think Bobby Roode would be the one I wouldn't want to win.
He's the only one that I think would be like, eh, if he won, I'm not crazy. But it would still be interesting to see what they do with it. But we're running out of time, and we have a wrestling wrap to do. And by wrestling wrap, I mean news with Gabby. What do we got?
Let's get it on. So, new WWE prospects. Well, a popular Japanese women's wrestling star, and I don't want to butcher the name, so I think I should maybe spell it. I think it's Io space Shirai.
Do
you know who that is?
I vaguely heard of her. I haven't seen much of her work, but she was she's the champion of
Stardom.
So I was going to say it was Shimmer or Stardom. Stardom.
And I'm sure she's been in a lot of other independent wrestling promotions, but she had a contract with Stardom, and she was working on the promotion. So June 17th is going to be her final match, taking place at Korakuen Hall. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right either, because it's a Japanese name. She also recently lost the title to Momo Watanabe last week. And Tokyo Sports is reporting that she will be heading to WWE right after her final match in Japan. So that's interesting. We may see some new faces coming up soon.
Well, they've been having success, obviously, with Asuka, Nakamura, and Kairi Sane being big in NXT. They keep it coming. There's so much talent in Japan, especially.
I agree. Keep it coming.
So let's see how she does.
She'll probably be in the Mae Young Classic, I'm guessing.
That would make the most sense.
Like, at least debuting in that.
That, like, she would be, like, one of the favorites of the Mae Young Classic.
I could see that happening. Yeah. That would be really exciting to see, too. Like, I can't wait to see who they announce for that.
Yeah.
I know everyone's kind of buzzing, like, did you get a call? Did you get a call? There's some people that are in inner circles. I know Chelsea Green was just interviewed on Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, and she was saying how, like, she's good friends with Santana Garrett and one of the other female wrestlers, and they kind of keep tabs and let each other know if they've heard anything.
I have not gotten the call yet. I'm just letting everyone know.
Neither am I. Anyways.
I did.
What?
Big news for Tom. Moving on. NXT has their West Coast dates set. So if you're on this side of the world like us, make sure to grab your tickets, and you can get those at nxttickets.com. The seats are available starting on Friday, you guys, and these are the locations. On July 26th, they're going to be
birthday.
In San Diego.
Oh!
Happy early birthday.
Birthday trip to San Diego?
Yeah, we should go to San Diego. Oh. Not a bad idea. July 27th, they'll be in Riverside, California.
Okay.
And then July 28th, Las Vegas, Nevada, if you want to do a Las Vegas trip. Party
Las Vegas
up.
Oh, that way maybe we should do that.
Yeah. We had good times in Vegas recently, so maybe again. July 29th will be in Phoenix, Arizona. So those are going to be the four cities that they're going to. So make sure to check it out. Really cool. And then we have CM Punk, who's going to be fighting on the UFC 225 main card on June 9th. There's some disappointment over Alistair Overeem being demoted to the fight past prelim matches. And while Punk is on the main against Mike Jackson, Dana White commented at a press conference recently to the media, and you know, he was asked a few questions, and he pretty much said, hey, listen, when Alistair Overeem sells as many pay-per-views as CM Punk does, we can argue. And that's all about like the controversy between like CM Punk being on the main and all these other, you know, fighters being
he doesn't have the record but he has the notoriety.
I don't know
and
the other guy's name.
People want to see either if CM Punk got better at UFC or if CM Punk is going to get his ass kicked in. So people are going to tune in for that.
And so with that being said, he also, Dana White said that, you know, if he does get beat and he doesn't win this match coming up, that it will probably be the last one for him.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. So CM Punk, you better do good. There's a lot of pressure on the table for you. And then my last...
I think he's set. If he doesn't win, I don't think it'll be, you know, it'll be the end of probably his UFC career, but...
Yeah.
You know, then he can go all in September.
Maybe.
We'll see. My last story has to do with you-know-who.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had our Memorial Day and our Memorial Day weekend that just passed. So Kevin Owens wants to keep you safe while driving.
Aw, that's nice of him.
WWE tweeted an ad with Kevin Owens. It's called Click It or Ticket. And, you know, he's just looking out for everybody. So even though now Memorial Day has passed, there's going to be a lot of other holidays like July 4th. So make sure you guys buckle up and think of Kevin Owens every time.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah. Think of Kevin Owens.
Drink and drive. Call Uber.
Think of Kevin Owens whenever you're hopping in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And driving to the nearest
town.
Wrestling event. And just, while you're on your phone reading Kevin Owens trolling people on Twitter.
And just know that, you know, you probably don't have to drive as far as they do every night.
That's true.
Yeah.
Your trip's
hopefully, you know, less than 3 hours.
And who knows? Maybe in a couple weeks Kevin Owens is gonna have extra luggage with that briefcase.
Good.
We don't know.
Yeah. Would he make Sammy carry that, or would he?
Oh,
that was low.
Well, Sammy's still gonna have vertigo from Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's still happening, right?
Yeah, apparently.
All right. So is that all we got this week?
That's all we got. That's
all
the
right.
end.
Perfect. That is great. And it's like timing is perfect because we're going to wrap this baby up. But again, iTunes and YouTube, like, subscribe, leave those comments. Let us know what you think. What do you think of the news items? What do you think of what's happening for Money in the Bank in a couple weeks? The stage's pretty much set. We have our full rosters for both Money in the Bank matches. Who do you think is taking them home? Talk with us, and you can also chat with us on social media. Tom, how can we reach out to you?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central, if you want a wrestling ring for your Funko Pop, and I have some other ones that are growing up soon. That are not wrestling.
Growing
related,
up?
But, no, going up.
Oh, you said growing. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Gabby.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Gabby Loren TV. That's GABBYLOREN TV. And then I also have a YouTube channel, so you can subscribe through the link in the bio. And I'm here on Tuesday. So for sure, give us feedback. Hopefully it's all constructive. I love hearing from you guys. And can't wait for next week.
The biggest pro wrestling tees sale ever is happening this weekend because pro wrestling tees is turning 5 years old, and on their site all weekend, if you buy 5 items, whatever the items are, you will get 25% off your total order. So you can get one Christian Rosenberg t-shirt with a bunch of others. If you want five different Christian Rosenberg t-shirts, you can do it. If you want five of the same, I don't know why, but you could do that if you want. ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. This weekend is the time to save on those shirts and any other shirts you might like. Of course, Twitter, @WeRosenberg, Instagram, TheRewRosenberg. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter, @AfterBuzzTV. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. For Tom Connolly and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We will see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.